For all that was afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, we're made nigh unto God. Over in 7 and 19 of the book of Hebrews, we want to notice the scripture here. We desire that you would pray for us, that we would only use the scriptures that would be edifying to the glory of God. Here in 7 and 19, it says, "For the law made nothing perfect, but to bring an end of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God." Now it said there, we who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now then it tells us how that here a little further says, "For the law made nothing perfect, but to bring an end of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God." You know, Jesus says, "I came not to destroy the law of the prophets, but I came to fulfill." He came to do what the law was a shadow of, and what it was unable to do. Well, he came to do that. So, you and I, it says, "But the bringing in of a better hope did." You and I have hope through Christ.
Yes.
One scripture in 1 Timothy 1:1, it says, "Christ, who is our hope." Christ is our hope. He's our hope of everything that we stand in need of right here in this world. He's our hope. He died for us. He shed his blood for us. And he rose again. He's pleading for us. And he has all power in heaven and earth. And God has committed everything into his hand. Since he loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, well, then you and I have hope. He's our hope. If nothing else, if everything else in the world fails, well, Christ is still our hope.
Yes.
Through his shed blood, he's still our hope. And we can draw nigh unto him. I'm glad that the Lord fixed it so that you and I could draw nigh to him. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, while he was expiring, and when he gave up the ghost, it said the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, signifying that the way into the holiest was now laid open. It was made open so you and I could draw nigh to God. You know, that's what we need to do, isn't it? One place in the old Bible it mentions says, "Let us draw nigh unto God." One of the old prophets, I believe, said that. And one place it says, "Draw near to God and he will draw nigh to you." Well, I'm glad that you and I have a privilege of drawing nigh to God. We can draw so nigh to God that we can hear his voice. You know, when you are far off, you can't hear voices. But if you get right up close, you can hear their voice. Well, Christ has fixed it so that you and I can hear his voice. He's fixed it so that we could draw nigh unto him. Over in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, here in the 21st verse, I believe it is, the 19th verse, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Now, back there, under the law, only the high priest was permitted to go into the holiest. And that, after he had offered a sacrifice for himself and the sins of the people. But Jesus entered into the presence of God for us, and he shed his blood, and his blood now is able to cause us to have boldness to go in to the blood and to his presence also. Over in ninth chapter of Hebrews, in the 14th verse, we want to notice. We might notice the 13th verse first. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself to without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know, you and I have a conscience. We have a soul. We have something that is eternal, something immortal about us. And that conscience couldn't be purged by the blood of goats and heifers and so on. After that, they was offered, and we continued on in our, even under the law, in their worship service, in their sacrifices. Every year, there was something in their conscience that made them know that not everything is just clear between us and God. It said it was impossible for those things to take away sins. But Christ, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, I think about here, Christ had took upon himself something that no one else could do. He was God manifest in the flesh. And he was willing to give his life. He was willing to give his life in order to purge our conscience. He was willing to give his life in order that you and I might have hope of eternal life. It's only as you and I partake of Christ that we get a hold of his life that we can have eternal life.
Yes.
It's only through him that we have eternal life. But Jesus poured out his blood. The scripture says, teaches that the life is in the blood. So there was Jesus pouring out his life for us, and him being a spotless Lamb of God, through the eternal Spirit, him being God himself, well then his life and his sacrifice was acceptable to God. And it was powerfully just like that the shadow of the things that were given back under the law for the purifying of the flesh. Well, Jesus' blood was shed to purify our hearts, to purge our conscience. And he being God himself and pouring out his life for us, that was acceptable to God. That was acceptable. There was no other sacrifice needed. After that, God saw, well, here is a sacrifice that covers man's sins. It covers all of man's needs. And my son has given his life. He's poured it out as an offering before me. I'm satisfied with that. And then he being God and satisfying the God toward us, having given a perfect atonement for our sins, God was satisfied with us at one point. After he rose again and sent it back to the Father, well, he still had life. He still had that Spirit that he had when he offered himself. It says, through the Spirit, through the eternal Spirit, he offered himself without spot to God. Well, that eternal Spirit, after Christ offered himself through the eternal Spirit, well, then God was pleased to speak to you and I, to purge our conscience, to prick our hearts, to help us to know that the blood of Christ was a full atonement for us. Over in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we want to notice another scripture that kind of helps us to bring out the thought we're trying to get brought out. It says here in the 22nd verse, "But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Jesus, when he was here, he told his disciples, after they were rejoicing that the spirits were subject unto them, he says, "Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names is written in heaven." Well, now then, here is a group of names that was written in heaven. And God was pleased for the atonement to cover all of these names. It says, "which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all." You know, when God was so good to us, that he wasn't willing that we should perish. He waited a long time till he could, the scriptures was fulfilled, till he could send his son. And then after he sent his son, and Jesus gave his life for us, God says, the judge of all, anyone that pleads the blood of Christ can have mercy. Anyone that can, he says that the judge of which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. I'm glad that you and I can come to Jesus, come to this mediator that is of the new covenant, and his blood, and to the blood of sprinkling, we can have the blood of Christ sprinkled upon our hearts, just like the Moses sprinkled the vessels of the temple and the people and the book. Well, Christ sprinkled his blood spiritually. He sprinkled his blood upon his people. And it says, "to the sprinkling of the blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Now, of all the things that God accepts is the blood of Christ. Wherever, just like the when they were going out of Egypt, when they God told them to kill this Paschal lamb and apply the blood upon the doorpost, and said, "When I come through, wherever the blood is, I'll pass over." Well, here, the blood of Christ speaks for us. Wherever Christ's blood is offered for every man, it is, there's an atonement in the blood of Christ to cleanse every man, everyone that will believe in that and obey him. So the blood of Christ, it says, speaketh better things than that of Abel. I think of when the blood of Abel was shed, how that his blood cried out from the ground, and God took vengeance upon Cain. It says, "Thy brother's blood cries out." Well, you know, Jesus' blood cries out for mercy. It cries out for us. It speaks before the throne. It speaks before the throne. And then God is able also not only to speak before the throne, but he's able to speak to our hearts. He's able to speak to our hearts and to help us to know that through the blood of Christ, we can have our sins removed. We can have a pure heart. We can have a cleansed heart, a clean heart. And so the blood of Christ just helps us to, in a lot of ways. Over in the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews, says, "For For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is a covenant that I will make with them, with the house of Israel, after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. You know, the Lord, through His kindness and through His goodness and through our obedience unto Him, well, then the Lord is able to write His laws within our heart, and He's able to help us to see the power of the blood of Christ. I remember years ago when I was thinking about endeavoring to believe for a clean heart and for sanctification. Well, the scripture that the Lord gave me was there in Hebrews 10 and 19. It says, Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The Lord helped me to know, well, it's through the blood of Jesus that you can enter into the holiest. Now, and I felt, and as I accepted that as the atonement, not only for my transgressions, but for a clean heart, well, God was pleased to send the Holy Spirit in my heart and begin to write His laws within my heart. And He helped me to know, well, now then, you're possessing what the prophets prophesied of. You're possessing what Christ died for. This is actually the thing that Christ, all the prophets, appointed to, and it's all, now you're possessing that. Well, but when you and I come into the presence of God and we begin to partake of the holy things of God through the Spirit, just remember that all of that was brought about by the blood of Christ. It could not have been brought about any other way. Any time that we, Brother Wilson was saying one time, Brother Austin Wilson, he said that he was asking the Lord, Lord, help me to know how to walk worthy before you. The scriptures mentioned about us walking worthy. And the Lord spoke to him and says, any time that you count anything affording you the privilege or making you able to be a partaker of the things of God except through my blood, you're altogether unworthy. But anyone that is that pleads the blood, and it comes through the blood. Now, the blood here in the first chapter of Peter, it has something that we should notice here. In the first chapter, it says, Elect according to the foreknowledge of God and of the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience. You see, there has to be an obedience there on our part, bowing to the Lord, believing in Him, accepting His plan, submitting to Him. Well, then when we do that, well, then, just like those vessels in the temple, well, Jesus is willing to sprinkle His blood upon us and cause us to be able to receive His grace and His strength into our heart. I'm glad that the Lord has fixed it so that you and I can have something that is purchased through the blood of Christ. In 1 Peter 1 and 18, it says, For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish. Now, silver and gold might have been able to purchase things that we could have enjoyed here in this world. But you and I, as an immortal being, as having an image of God, created after the image of God, and having an immortal spirit, well, it could nothing cause us to be worthy to inherit heaven except the blood of Christ. All the silver and all the gold wouldn't even compare to making us worthy. But all of our gold and silver would perish. But if there's anyone that gets to heaven, which they will be, of course, the people that gets to heaven will only be through the blood of Christ. It says here, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, but received by tradition from your fathers." You know, our conversation, anything that's not covered under the blood is vain. Anything that we would try to do in our own strength, in our own works, will that just be a vain conversation. And we were redeemed, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. We was redeemed to live a life that is different from what we received by tradition from our fathers, just naturally speaking. But the life that we live now, it's the life of Jesus Christ. That's what he said. He come into the world to give life. He come into the world to impart his life to us. But it's only through his blood that we are worthy to partake of that life-giving flow. I think of that scripture over in Zechariah 13:1. It says, "And in that day there shall be a fountain opened in the house of David for sin and uncleanness." Well, in that day, that fountain was open. When Jesus shed his blood, when he suffered the nail prints in his hand, the crown of thorns on his head, the pierced feet and the pierced side, when he did that, that fountain was open. It was open to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all the world, all that will believe in him. I'm glad for that. Today, everything that you and I enjoy comes to us exactly through a gift. There's nothing that you and I ever merit, nothing that we can merit, but it comes to us. Over in 1:17 of James, it says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights." Well, the best gift that ever was a gift of Christ, gift of eternal life. That comes from above. A gift is something that you don't merit. It's something that someone gives to you. So God freely gave his Son, and Jesus freely gave his life. And I think of when Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees, or the Jews, and some of his followers, he told them, "Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." They stumbled at that. But Jesus, some of them did. But Jesus told them, he says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Well, Jesus, he poured out his life. He shed his blood. And then as you and I drink that and partake of it, well, we are partakers of Christ. That's the only way that we can partake of Christ is through his blood. We have no. That's the way we get forgiveness of sins. That's the way we have a clean heart. Over in 1 John, the first chapter, says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." You know, the Lord shed his blood freely. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we accept his word, I thought of that song that we sang, 436. that says, "Thy love and thy word has won my heart." The word of God, the promises of God, and God's love that wins our heart, that we causes us to be willing to walk in the light as He is in the light. And when we do, it says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Over in Revelation's 7th chapter, we want to notice the scripture over here. In the 9th verse, it says, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands." Now these palms signifies victory. And then it says, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts fell before the throne in their faces, and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God, which liveth forever and ever. Amen." Yeah. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And he said unto me, "Sir, thou knowest." He said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." That included, seemed like, maybe the whole multitude of saved folks at the, maybe at the end of time, but they were waving palms in their hand, victory, but they was able to do that through washing their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. One place it says, they are without fault before the throne of God, over in the 14th chapter. That's people that is covered under the blood, that is pleading the blood of Christ. I think of what Jesus told Paul when He commissioned him to preach His gospel. He says, "I've sent you to the Gentiles and to turn them from the power of Satan unto God, and from darkness to light, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified." Now, an eternal inheritance. There's nothing, like we mentioned before, there's nothing worthy of all the gold and all the silver in the world piled up, wouldn't be able to purchase a place in heaven. It wouldn't be able to purchase a home in heaven. But only the blood of Christ, only the life of Christ, only God. But He has that for us. I think of the power in the blood, and how that the Lord comes to our rescue under sometimes trying circumstances. We might feel that all of our strength is exhausted. We might feel that my case is almost hopeless. But if we plead the blood, Christ is making intercessions for us. And if we plead the blood, well, that great high priest is able to make intercessions for us, and He's able to come between us and all of our troubles, all of our needs. He's able to do that, and He's able to speak to us. I think of the scripture that said, "It speaketh better things to us than that of Abel." Well, you know, the Lord, He wants us to... He wants to speak to us. He wants to Help us to understand His voice and help us to know that His blood atones. I think of Thomas when he was failed to be with the other disciples after the Lord's resurrection. Well, Jesus appeared again. Thomas was there. And Thomas, the Lord told him, says, Thomas, be not faithless, but believing. He showed him his hands. And he showed him his side. Told him to thrust his hand into his side. Be not faithless, but believing. Well, you know, the Lord is still speaking to people today. He's still speaking to them. Be not faithless, but believing. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in His blood. Accept it as a perfect atonement. Accept it for everything that you need in life. I feel like this. If I stay humble before the Lord and plead His blood and obey Him to the best of my knowledge, I feel like that Christ will make intercessions for me,
yes,
and that His blood, and He'll come to the rescue of my soul, and He'll help me through the tribulation that I go through with, and give me an entrance into the glory world. But I'm not expecting an entrance in any other way except through Christ, and except through Jesus and His shed blood.
Amen.
Amen.